You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Guizo, good morning. Welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Oh, good morning. I'm here now. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Pastor. How are you doing today?
We are doing great by God's grace.
Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that we're able to connect with you. I was so disappointed. I thought we were going to miss this conversation because I really had a good time on Tuesday. But let's get into it, Pastor. We are still talking about the same chapter, False Hope. And I want us to focus on this for just a moment, that the dead know nothing, God knows everything, right? We touched on this on Tuesday as well, about the state of the dead and the way that sometimes people find hope in falsehoods. Let's talk about that, what the Bible says about this.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. You know, it would be good for us to look at the text itself, the biblical text itself. Remember, we also said, deceptions, lies, they thrive because people don't consider what the word says. And we also said the devil is the father of lies. Mm-hmm. Now, let's reread this text here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. But the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, verse 6, and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion, for even in anything that is done under the sun. So the emphasis is that they are no longer intelligent. They are no longer aware of what is happening. Their consciousness is gone. That is what it is. They would say they've become just like an inanimate object. It has no knowledge. It has no perception. And that's what the biblical text does say. And you remember, you brought up the issue of Lazarus then to say, if he had gone to heaven or hell, Jesus would have said, Lazarus, come back from heaven. Mm. Lazarus, get out of hell and come here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to remark, you know, before we ended the conversation at the time, that if I were Lazarus, guess what I would do?
No, thank you.
I would say, Lord, I am not coming. I'm sorry, but I'm going to disobey you this time.
Yeah.
I'm not coming. If I was in heaven, I would say, look, I am not coming over there, period.
Yeah.
And I'm aware you are coming here after your tour of duty on earth. And I'm aware of that. So I'm going to wait for you to come right here. I'm not coming.
So
Jesus says, come out, you know, pointing at the grave, and he came out of the tomb. And another point, he had to be specific also to say Lazarus. Had he simply said, come out, guess what would have happened?
Yeah.
All the graves would have opened, the people would have popped out.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at the text, you know, as a biblical student, he had to be specific which one should come out of the grave. Mm-hmm. Remember, the voice of Jesus, when he pronounces life, then life is restored.
Mm.
If he simply had said, come out, you know, Revelation says, he will come and he shall say, arise. When he says, arise, look, everybody arises. And so he had to be specific here. So, yes, the dead know nothing. They will only know when they are restored back to life.
Mm.
I think let's underscore that one. We will lose our consciousness. We will not have memory. We will not have love, our hatred, envy, everything is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus restores us back to life, we will have physical bodies. And once more, we have knowledge.
Mm.
We are conscious. We are aware. We become alive. And that, to me, as we discuss, we need to keep that in mind so that we have a hope even beyond the grave and look forward to the coming of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. In fact, when you think about Jesus and his resurrection power, it's like, if we don't die, what is the point of resurrecting anybody? Who is he coming to resurrect if everybody's already awake somewhere?
True.
And then
there'll be no point.
Yes, exactly. And then there's someone might be wondering, what is the point of these conversations? But we need to understand that clarity is for our own protection. Can you speak to us about how the clarity and understanding of God's truth protects us from falsehoods, protects us from deception?
You know, it is important, this conversation. I'm so glad we are having it, because if we don't know the truth, if we don't have the light, we grow up in darkness. We become vulnerable to lies. And remember, he said, remember, there shall be false prophets, there shall be delusions, there shall be false doctrines out there. So this conversation is critical, so that we are not deceived. If I am not going to be deceived, then I need to know the right thing. All right, you know, here's something exciting. Here's something exciting. You know, banks. Mm-hmm. When the central bank of any country introduces new banknotes, do you know what they do? They teach, they train, they orient, they familiarize bank tellers and everybody who is going to handle cash. Mm-hmm. What they do, they put focus on the genuine note, the features of the genuine note, that this is the genuine note. They will not spend so much time explaining the false notes, because it's not their business to make fake notes. You know? So this conversation is important. When you know what the Bible says, when you know what it teaches, when you confront, when you meet falsehood, when you meet lies, you will know these are lies. So if we don't have this conversation, if we don't have this conversation, references to the biblical text, we will encounter falsehoods, lies, and then we will be deceived. So yes, so for me, this conversation is critical. We can't exhaust all the falsehoods, can we, in this discussion here? No. We can't, but our key focus area is to say, look at this biblical text. Look at what the Bible says about the state of the dead. Yeah. When you encounter falsehood and you know this is not true, this is not what is biblical. If somebody comes up and says, I'm your grandma, I'm speaking through somebody else, you know, I'm your dead uncle, I've come to tell you that, then you know, the dead don't speak, they don't come this way.
Yeah.
It can only be the devil who is the father of lies.
Sure.
And so he comes in many ways, but our key focus for this conversation is to say, this is what the Bible says, the dead know nothing.
Beautiful.
They await the resurrection of Jesus.
I love that. I love that. We're recently having this conversation with my kids, and my husband was asking them, if I had to die, and then one day you see me in your room, I appear to you and I'm quoting the Bible scriptures to you, it's my voice, you can see my face, and I'm telling you about God, and what will you say? And I was so happy to hear my children saying that, no, I'll know that that's the devil. Like, no, but it's my voice. And you think the Bible will be quoting scripture? And they're like, yeah, the Bible, the devil knows scripture, he's just not converted, but he knows the Bible, so that's not good enough.
You know, I that is amazing. You know, there's a pastor who lost his wife. Mm-hmm. Just in connection to what you're saying, he lost his wife, was preaching every night. When he went home, he saw a figure that looked like his wife sitting on the bed in their bedroom. Do you know what he did? He closed the door, and then he said, I know who you are. You are the devil, and it disappeared. And it vanished.
Whoa.
I'm just connecting it to what you're saying, that we need to know the truth. We need to know what is right. The devil is cunning. And so he just shut the door and said, I know who you are. Get out of here. And the devil left. Just like that.
Sure. Wow.
So the fact that we know what the Bible says, I just want to add this, if you allow me. You know, the fact that we know what the Bible says, the fact that we know the dead know nothing, does not stop the devil from trying his luck on you.
Yes. Yo. My goodness. Now, Pastor, sometimes someone might be listening to people talking, listening to this conversation and thinking, well, that's taking away our hope. You know, I found comfort in thinking that I spoke to my dead grandmother. That made me feel comfort, made me feel close to her. But let's talk about what real hope means and the foundation of real hope. Hebrews 6:19, we quoted earlier that it tells us that our hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, and that the anchor is Christ. And it's not our emotion, it's not our dreams, it's not our superstitions. Can you speak to us a little bit about real hope as we close?
Good. I like the text that you have just talked about here. And real hope is anticipating, looking forward to eternal, to genuine redemption from this planet and all its pains and troubles. Real hope is knowing that real redemption, when we are redeemed from this planet, no sickness, no disease, no death, no divorces, no orphans, no widows, no widowers, no being fired from work and you have nothing to do, nothing of this nature. Real hope is anticipating the coming of the Messiah. He's not just going to redeem people who are in the tombs, but he's also going to redeem the living who are on this planet vulnerable to death itself. Mm. And that is real hope. And you know, John says something here that, if you don't mind, let me just read it. Chapter 11 is something very exciting here. Verse 25. It says here, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believes in me shall never die. And what he's talking about here is the second death. So real hope is believing Jesus. I don't know if we can emphasize this to our listeners here, to say real hope is believing Jesus. What did he say about death? What did he say will happen to the dead? What did he say he's going to do? I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. So that where I am, there you might be also. So I think like your kids did, you know, when they were given a question and they were so smart to answer it correctly because they listened to the teaching of their parents, to mom, to dad, and sound doctrine. And so when they confront the situation is presented before them, they held on to the truth, what the Bible says. So real hope is believing God, trusting him, studying his word, meditating prayerfully, maintaining a connection with him. When we do that, we have real hope in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. And in closing, Pastor, any final points, any final thoughts you want to share with us on the subject of false hope and on the lessons that we get from this chapter as a whole?
You know, I just want to say, you know, as people listen to us, it's very critical for us to recognize that some have lost loved ones and some are probably declared chronically sick, and some have been told you have a few days to leave. And I want to say to somebody, it is not easy just to go over pain. It's not so theoretical. It is a process. And I want you to hang on in there as you stretch yourself to believe, you know, what we are talking about here. God, may the good Lord give you grace. It's a walk. It's a journey. And God will put the pieces together. You have lost somebody who's very dear. It may be difficult, but God is good. He will bring the pieces together. Believe him, trust him, join with him. If you have to cry, cry, but believing that he is with me. He said, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
I will be with you all the way. So I would want to leave this to our listeners to say, yes, it's not easy. It's painful. It's hard. But let's claim the promise. And our prayer for you from Adventist World Radio is, may God sustain you, may he bless you, and keep you close to himself as you go through difficult challenges, moments. Hang on, keep trusting.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Pastor, please pray for us before we let you go.
Lord Jesus, I want to thank you this beautiful morning. You've given us the privilege to talk about real hope. Lord, there is a sister, there is a brother, there is somebody, a young man, maybe somebody contemplating suicide because they're giving up on life. This morning, we wanted them to have hope, to remind them Jesus cares. He is the real redeemer, a friend in times of need. Some are bereaved, and they're going through hard times. Almighty God, we pray, be close to them. Some also have strange dreams, the dead seemingly speaking to them, and we know it's the devil. May you give them peace, and may they not have such nightmares. In Jesus' name, may you bless each one of us today. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Guizzo. God bless you. May he enlarge your territory. Thank you for your time.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.